Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. I'm Kate Hennessy, and you are with Get Focused Radio today. We have an amazing show, and I think this is going to be very exciting for our listeners. The switchboard is lit up already because everyone knows that my first guest today is the very well-known medium psychic Concetta Bertoldi. Now, Concetta is a New York Times best-selling author who's been featured in Time magazine and on NBC's Early Today. She's a full-time medium with a two-year waiting list and is regularly consulted by members of Britain's royal family, American celebrities, politicians, and others. She is the author of Do Dead People Watch You Shower? And Do Dead People Walk Their Dogs? And her latest book is available now, and it's called Inside the Other Side. Now, today, just as a special treat for us, Concetta is going to be doing some mini readings for some very lucky callers. So I'm really excited to have her on. Now, I'm going to call her in. She's in New Jersey, and we're going to dial in and get Concetta on the phone in about 1 minute. And we're going to chat, and please, when you call in, these are very mini readings. One question. Here we are. We're going to give her a call now. See if we can get her on. Do you believe? Not sure? Find out.
Hello.
Hello, Concetta. Welcome to the show.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm good. I was just telling the listeners that we are very, very fortunate to have you on today because I know that you have a waiting list like 2 years. Before anyone gets to you.
Well, let me just tell you, it's a lot more than 2 years, so they don't get disappointed just in case they call.
Okay, well, I have the switchboard is lit up. So before I let anybody speak with you, I want to speak with you first.
Okay, are we live right now? Or
we are on. We are live on air.
Everybody, okay, very good.
I was just saying that you have these great two books that have come out that are the titles are hilarious. Do Dead People mm-hmm. Watch You Shower? And Do Dead People Walk Their Dogs? And you've got the new book out now, Inside uh-huh. the Other Side. And where can we get that? Where can we go?
Oh, they're on Amazon. You can get them easily on Amazon or Kindle. You can go to Barnes & Noble, all bookstores. Yes, it's all over.
Okay, great. Now, I want to talk a little bit about you, because has anyone ever compared you to other mediums that are out there that are relatively well-known too, if you know who I mean?
Sure. Well, I've worked with James Van Praagh, mm-hmm. and I haven't worked with, but I know John Edward, I know mm-hmm. Sylvia Brown. I mean, I've met these folks. And I've met and worked with a lot of other mediums as well. So they have, but I guess it's not necessarily really to compare me because we're all on the same team, actually.
That's hilarious. Now, you've got, you are deaf in one ear. Is that true?
I have what, dear? I'm sorry?
You're deaf in one ear.
Yes, that just summed it up, didn't it? Because I was moving the phone around and it was on. Yes, I am completely deaf in one ear.
And now, when was that? Was that as a child?
Oh, I was born that way. It's a birth defect.
Okay. Do you think that has anything to do with your gift?
Well, I was told that when they tested. I was tested at the Edgar Cayce Institute many years ago in Virginia, and that's what they told me, that my hearing impairment did activate, so to speak, another part of my sensing. But I don't know if that's true. I know that I've been told that. I only know I've heard dead folks all my life.
And was this from a child, right? From when was
Oh, yes, from my mother and father. My father's father had the same ability. So my mother, who was very different background than my dad, my mother and father were two different religions, two different ethnic backgrounds. And my mother's background was frightened of this. She was raised in a very horrible institution of orphanage, and anything, it was a Catholic orphanage, so they frowned on this. Anything that was different scared her very, very much. But she figured anything had to be better than the way she was treated as a child. So my father had a background that was very accepting of this. His father had the ability. And from early on, my father knew I was going to have this because my grandfather told him. So my mother just joined my father's beliefs and said, you know, I'm going to embrace this too. So it took her a while to get on board, but she said later in life, she was so cute, she used to say, she remembered, every mother knows their child, and I knew there was something about you because I knew you were talking to things that were not in front of me that I couldn't see. And then as I got a little older, you know, 7, 8 years old, she said there were things that happened that were just nothing short of a miracle to her. Because of things that I told her, and then they came about.
Well, you know, just when you were saying about your mom's background and it, there being a Catholic background in there, you know, that was how I was raised also.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Catholics would be more to would be a little more on the side of it's a little bit too much of the almost. Devil, the evil.
Yes, they would
part,
think it was
this,
evil.
Right?
Yes, they certainly would. They've made that perfectly clear. But fortunately, my mother and father raised my brothers and I to be believing God, and that my mother and father believed in God wholeheartedly. And my mother never held against God what was done to her. And my mother was beaten in that orphanage. The nuns were terrible. They beat her. She had nobody to protect her, and she was not fed good food. She was needed medical treatment. They didn't give it to her. I mean, the poor girl, woman, really went through hell. She was raped. But you never would have known it when you met her because she didn't. When there's somebody who's an abuser, raised by somebody who's abusing them, they either become an abuser themselves or they go the exact opposite. Well, my mother went the exact opposite. She was subservient to the world. She was just a beautiful woman. And she believed in God her whole life. And she used to, and I used to get so angry when I found out the stories of the things that were done to her. And she would always say to me, don't hold it against them. They were human. But underneath that, they were just frustrated and humans. But I'm not holding it against God. And she never did.
Yeah.
So I was raised to embrace God and be very spiritual. And I was fortunate because my parents said, when our children get old enough and they decide what religion they choose works for them, we'll respect them. And as a result, I have many different religions in my family. We have my sister-in-law is Chinese. She's a Buddhist. I have a Jewish grandparents. I have Catholic, Protestants. I mean, I have it all. And I feel very fortunate to do that because I embrace all things. I believe in one God for all people.
When did you decide that, at what point was this going to be a career for you, that you were going to kind of offer this?
Yeah. Well, my brother passed away in 1991, and he was the first person I had ever loved and lost. And that was the first time in my life when I had realized how important this ability is. And I had always, you know, heard them and doled out messages, but privately to friends. My mother used to say if she had a friend who somebody passed away, she'd say, honey, can you tell them if you hear anything? You know, it went like that.
Sure.
But when my brother passed away, he urgently said to me, we need your voice. We need your help.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to write an autobiography someday because it's going to be a funny one, but a serious one and a loving one because there's so much about this that has just been an amazing ride in my life. But
well,
I went public.
I always love to ask anyone that has this amazing ability, you know, because you're all young girls, the same as everyone else, and teenagers and all of that. What was it like as you were dating? I mean, did you know what the boy was thinking and if he liked you? Did you have an edge in all the other girls?
You know what, darling? I have to applaud you on that. In all the years I've been public and all the questions I've been asked, no one has ever asked me that. And that's a real great question and a favorite of mine. I'm going to always remember that you asked me that. I love that. Well, let me just say I've always been able to know and be able to sense when somebody's lying to me. And I've always been able to know, when I say sense, I mean hear, when somebody really liked me or not. And if they were, you know, I remember one time, let me give an example. I was dating this one young boy, I guess you might say, and we were going out for, I don't know, 2 years, I guess, and he told me and I just knew him well. He was we had a nice relationship, and then all of a sudden he told me he had to do something, whatever, and I heard the other say, no, he doesn't. I said, what? And I heard them tell me he was with somebody else. So I never, I'm not a stalker. I'm not that kind of girl, you know. But I went with my brother. I said, just take a ride with me. And we pulled around the corner from his house. And I was waiting there. And sure enough, he pulled in the driveway with some girl in the car. And I just remember, you know, it was like amazing because I would have never did that to him ever before. Wouldn't have ever done it again. But I knew he was lying and I wanted to prove it. And it was just amazing. And I remember I pulled in the driveway and I rang the doorbell and I was like, listen, I'm just letting you know I'm here so that tomorrow when I talk to you and you say it was my imagination, I can tell you it wasn't. But he didn't even answer the door. But the funny thing is this particular young man I'm talking about was the man who knew of my ability, who was the one who encouraged me to go with him to West Virginia to go to the Edgar Cayce Institute. And so I thought of all people that should know better, it would have been him. But, you know, I guess they probably thought that would be the one I would miss.
Wow. Well, now, did your husband know? Did you, I mean, is this something that you have to tell?
Well,
when you're getting serious with someone, you have to say, look, I can do this.
Well, obviously, I didn't with anybody else, but I married my husband, so I had to sooner or later tell him. But I will tell you that when I first met him, if you've read any of my books, I write about my personal life, and it's open book that I have problems with my in-laws. I mean, it's very sad that, you know, it's something there was karmic, because my mother-in-law, who only lives two towns away from me, I don't even know where she lives because, you know, we don't have a nice relationship. She's never liked me. Very sad. Breaks my heart. But anyway, getting back to the beginning when I first met my husband, I was up against a mother-in-law who didn't like me, and I had two stepchildren. So, you know, anyone who's married into a family where there's stepchildren and mother-in-law who don't like you, the last thing you need to do at Thanksgiving is say, by the way, could you mash the mashed potatoes? And did I mention I speak to dead people? That was, like, not going to work. So I didn't say anything until we got married, and my husband in the first year, he really thought that I was cheating on him because my cousins would whisper to me, people would whisper to me that were close to me, you know, about asking me if I could help somebody, and they all knew I wasn't and didn't tell John. I wasn't out of the closet, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, in the beginning of our marriage, we were in marriage counseling because things were so hard and difficult because of the in-law situation and the stepchildren and what have you. And during the therapy, the therapist, when she saw me alone, I confessed to her that I heard dead people. And as it was, lo and behold, she was a nun who left the convent because it didn't work for her, and she was now married. And she said, well, can you hear anything around me? And I said, yeah, I can. And then I told her. And then when she saw my husband and I alone, she told him, you need to tell him what you told me. You need to let him know this, because this man was building up trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
So when I told him, he really went, oh, this is great. Like, I mean, he just really didn't go over big. And then my therapist said to him, I've met a lot of people, and I think it's really safe to say that your wife is not a liar. And I think it's safe for me to say that she has something because nobody knew what she told me. So it really was helpful that she said that. But it took a while for my husband to get on board. I want you to know, though, just for the record, he is totally on board now. We're 30 years into this, and my stepchildren are like my own children, and we get along just beautifully. And
well, you have that edge with those stepchildren because they are just not going to cross the line.
Well, they
did,
though.
I wish I had that.
Just like any kids, we're going to test you. But you know what? I think what happened is having this ability helped me to be patient and nurture and try to turn the other cheek, which is not an easy thing to do when somebody else's kids are beating you up.
Nope.
So it took the other side to intervene and say, be patient, it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right. Because all I wanted to do was get on their level and act out the way they were. But you know what? Lo and behold, all these years later, my daughter especially, it's like she was born to me. She doesn't even like me to tell people she's my stepdaughter. She says, please don't do that.
Now that's beautiful. That's,
oh, yeah.
That, you know, if you can't have the in-law, to have the children on board is, that's the most important thing.
Oh,
it really is.
And she's my best friend. And I have to tell you, so you understand, her mother's alive and well, and her mother and she have a beautiful relationship, too. So I didn't take the place of anybody else. I just share, and it's just a beautiful thing.
I think that's wonderful. Would you mind if we bring on one of our callers? I know she's anxious
to
come
on.
Now, I'm only going to tell you her first name and where she's calling from. Is that
okay? Okay, that's fine.
All righty. So I believe that I know she's really anxious. She's been waiting for a while. So I'm going to bring on Christine. Is that Christine from Lake Tahoe?
Yes.
Hi, Christine. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm well.
Hi, Christine. This is Pinchetta. How are you, too?
I'm really excited about this. I have a question that I think everybody will be interested in, and then maybe you could do something personally. I've always thought that certain people are with me, but I worry about whether they're with me in private moments. I don't like to think that my parents are with me when I'm.
I know,
you know,
honey.
With a boyfriend.
Well, you know, the title of my first book, which is in many languages, is called "Do Dead People Watch You Shower?" And I titled it that because that was on the top five questions, the most importantly aspect of me to answer. So I answer to them, yes, everybody in the spirit world is a part of God. They're a piece of God. So God sees everything. People just don't want their grandmother to watch them. But what you have to know, Christine, is this. They remember the flesh. They understand the flesh. But they are not like peeping Toms. They're not looking at it through the same eyes or same viewpoint they would have had they been on earth looking through your bedroom window. It's not like that, honey. So don't worry. They really do understand the flesh, so and the pleasures of it or the things, the horrible things that come with it. So they are not judgmental. Please realize
That's good to know.
Is that good to know? Okay. You feel better now? You feel better?
But I was wondering if you get anybody talking to
me
now.
Yes, I do, Christine. I have a male figure who's telling you he loves you very, very much. There are many people that are around you, but his first person who speaks is a male figure who says that, and there's many names. Somebody's name is with an R, Robert, Richard. Do you know who that might be?
Yes, Roberto.
What? Roberto, who is that, darling?
He was somebody that was very important to me when I was growing up. And
he's passed away now, though, but I can tell you he calls out a great, profound love for you. So it must have been something that you were very close at one time, but he knows you think of him often, and you remember certain moments in time that you spent with him, and he's telling you to say to tell you he loves you.
Okay. All right. You don't get anything specifically
well,
about how he died.
Well, tell me someone else you would look for.
Pardon?
Tell me Is there a specific person you were hoping to hear from?
Well, he's the one I really wanted to hear from. I mean,
so he was right then. But you want something else besides that, in other words?
Well, if you can get anything more specific from him.
Okay. I don't like to say this stuff on the air, but I will. He said he loves you that way and that he will always love you that way. So I know he was in love. And I don't know what happened or what paths you guys took, but he says that you were right, and he has some regrets about the if I could, I would, I should have. Does that make better sense for you, darling?
No, it doesn't, but I'll have to think about it.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Is there any reason?
Take that with you and think about it, all right? And maybe email back and tell us if there's something more, just because I want to be able to give everybody a chance that wants so much to speak to Conchetta. So,
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Christine.
Bye.
Bye, honey.
Yeah. Now, I've got Nancy from San Francisco. Nancy, are you on the line?
I am.
Hi. Would you like to ask one question for our wonderful Conchetta?
Yeah, my dad died 11 days ago.
Oh, wow.
And
I'm
really in a fog with that.
Yes, I don't blame you, darling. Can you first of all tell me if you recognize a name with an S? Is there a Steve, Sam, something with that name? Do you have any idea who that is?
No.
Okay,
no.
Can you also tell me why your father would tell me his name was used? Who else had his name?
His name was used
his
what?
Name? Who else had your father's name? He says it as if it was used.
Oh, my brother, his son. There's four generations.
Right. He says it as if his name was used, and I didn't know what he's talking about. I just want you to know that he is standing with somebody that he's telling me he's standing next to, and their name starts with an S. I want you to look at that, find out who that might have been. He is saying that his crossing was peaceful. I'm seeing a whole bunch of fluid in his lungs and feeling as if that his heart gave out, but the fluids in his lungs and his heart gave out.
Okay.
Did he have heart failure, sweetie?
Yeah, he was 90. I mean, it wasn't a surprise, but it's
still okay. So he was horizontal
and
comfortable because he shows himself as if it was a peaceful crossing, but he does tell me that the fluids went in his lung and his heart just stopped. He is not complaining. He's just thrilled that he went as peaceful as he did.
Great. Thank you.
And whose birthday, by the way, is coming up, like right in April?
May 3rd.
What is it?
I'm May 3rd.
May, right, because he's saying happy birthday to you, sweetie. I know it's right in front of me, April, May. He said, please say happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Nancy.
Thank you.
Phew, I'm so glad that made sense for you, Nancy.
It did. Thanks.
I still feel bad about the one that gets away, and I really wish I had more time to talk to Christine, because I really believe that there was something there, especially since he gave his name so clearly.
Yeah. Well, she'll have to get in touch with you.
I hope
something
she does.
Maybe a little bit more. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's hard to work when you're on seconds time.
I
know what I'm saying?
And of course, now tell me something about this, Conchetta. When you're mm-hmm. doing these readings, and they're kind of quick, and we're really putting you on the spot here. Okay, here's one, and you know everybody wants to talk to you. I want to talk to you. Everybody wants to talk to you and get
mm-hmm.
a little piece of you. It's almost like that.
Right.
Is it draining?
Yes.
Like, do you find after you've done a couple, it's very draining?
Oh, my goodness,
draining.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very draining, and that's the thing that most people don't understand, because they don't realize that I'm using something inside my body to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look like that from the outside. But if you've seen me work a show, I'm a maniac. I try to get to so many people in an audience, I don't just stick with 7 or 8, and I am exhausted at the end. But even when I work privately, I'm very, very tired. I tell people, try to imagine if you went to the gym and you were working out. That's
mm-hmm.
how the inside of my body feels, even though you don't see me on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm. And how often are you, I mean, this is your constant career here. This is what you're doing all the time, 24/7. How are you rejuvenating? What, you know, how do you get away from it?
Well, I don't really ever get away from it, but I can put it on hold. I do have to make time for myself, though, because it's exhausting, and I work with it all the time. And if I'm not doing work with clients or working with shows, I'm writing books. There's so much events and appearances. There's a lot involved, but I don't regret it, and I don't complain about it because I love it. It's restored my faith in humanity, because since I've gone public, I have found there's a lot of wonderful people out there, and I really wasn't thinking that before I went public. I was very, very upset by the world at large, just from
mm-hmm.
watching the news and the judge shows. You can do that on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But this is single-handedly meeting with the public helped me. So I just rejuvenate by taking time off, you know, and take a walk to the mall, you know, whatever.
Have a date with your husband.
Absolutely,
all
yes.
that good stuff. Okay, I've got another caller on here. Hi there. You're on live? Hello? Are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
What's your first name?
Tracy.
Tracy, where are you calling from, Tracy?
Asheville, North Carolina.
Well, nice to have you on the show. Do you have a question
Thank
for
you.
Conchetta?
I do. I entered a screenplay of mine in a contest, and it made the quarterfinals right now. And I'm just wondering, will I win the contest?
Oh, Tracy, I wish you the best of luck, and I certainly love the Carolinas. I did a big show out there in Wilmington.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to say, this is a tough one. I only know that, and I hate to give bad news, okay, because I don't want to give you bad news. Whatever they're saying, they're telling you that you have the talent and that you should keep on going. I think there might be something ahead of you on this final, but it might come in like the top, I don't know, the top 10, the top 3, I'm not sure. I'm not real comfortable saying that I think it might be the winning ticket, but I will say that they're encouraging you because you're really good and that
okay.
you have the talent. So all I'm going to say is I would not stop.
Okay, so I definitely won't.
Keep going.
Good luck to you.
Okay,
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
So, now, Conchetta, do you think that everyone has some ability or some absolutely do not?
Oh, no. Every one of us has it. It's just that that word denial
mm-hmm.
is big, because there's a lot of people in denial, and that's up to every individual. I don't criticize other folks, just like I wouldn't want them to criticize me, but I do want you to know that everyone has what they call coincidences happen to them in their life, or gut feelings, or they say something, which is one of my favorites. Something just told me. Remember that something was someone. And even our own government knows this is true. They've trained remote viewers. If you Google that, remote viewer, I mean, some wonderful books out there about our own government, who knows that this ability is true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I absolutely am such a staunch believer, and I've had a few things that have happened in my life that just, you know, really, really made me understand that I don't really understand what it is or
mm-hmm.
how it is. But I do know that it is. And
mm-hmm.
I will tell you one experience I had many years ago when I was quite young. And I would read really terrible books. I was a voracious reader, but I would read what you would really think are negative books, all about possession and just crazy stuff like that. And I had a huge box of these books underneath my bed. And I went to someone one time, and she looked at me and said, get rid of those books.
Wow.
She said, Kate, you are very spiritual, and you have a gift, but what you're doing is you're opening yourself up to very bad spirits.
Well, it sounds like the Ouija board thing, because I have to say that's how I feel about the Ouija board.
Oh.
You know, when people tell me they've had one, I say, get it out of your house.
Get rid of it.
It's not you're opening a window. You have to realize that we all have this ability, and we all can, all you have to do is ask for it in many ways. But the best way is to ask for the light of God to be a part of your life and a part of what you hear and protect you. And then you're all right. You got the big guns in town then, honey. And truly, this other stuff is something that works too. So I want nothing to do with it. And I always tell, I work with the souls who are in the light only. I always say to them when I'm working, you can speak to me only if you stand with God. If you stand in the light of God, you're welcome to speak with me. If
Absolutely.
You are not, you are not welcome here, and I do not wish to pass any messages on.
Well, now doesn't that certainly make sense, because it's the thing that you tell your children. If you hang around with the right people and pick the right path, you're going to be, you know, the person that has all of that wonderful empathy and no negativity around you. Who wants to be around negative? So
what
you cast out, you bring back in.
Oh, so true. You create your own world. We all, well, most people know this. What you put out, you get back.
Mm-hmm.
You literally create it by saying, I want it. And what you do in your own actions is what you might as well think. You may as well realize you're going to get back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we have, is there Claudine from California? Are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Claudine. You're on live with Concetta Bertoldi. Do you have a question for her?
Well, I probably would like to explore two things. I have questions about how my business will go within the next few years, and then there's a significant relationship in my life, and I just want some affirmation about how that's proceeding.
All right, let's take the relationship first, okay?
Okay.
Claudine? All right. What I want you to know is the relationship is going on for a very long time, according to them. I shouldn't say a very long time, but long enough. Whereas whatever it is that they're into, or how long they've been involved with you, their mind is already made up. They might be just satisfied for right where it is, the way it is, and not making any more, in other words, doing anything more about it. So let me just ask you this. Are you involved with this person at least 2 or 3 years?
Yes, 2.
Yeah. See, because that's how I'm hearing it. And I also feel that the relationship is, you know, kind of copacetic. It's just going along. It's very sweet. They're very satisfied, too, and that you're very satisfied. However, satisfied with the way it is. So I don't know that it's going to change any more than that, honey. In other words, I don't know if you're going to get married.
Okay.
And but that's not to say it's not a good thing, because I feel like the way they're showing it, you both have, I don't want to use the word baggage, but you both have a life that you bring to it that is still ongoing. And right now it's hard to make more of a commitment. But remember one thing, that could change, but right now that's the way they're showing it.
Okay.
Does that make sense for you?
Yes, it
okay.
does.
Okay. Okay, and also as far as your business adventure, why am I seeing it? Is there anything to do with it being home? Are you working at home in any way?
I am. I use a home office for my business.
Yeah, that's because I see you in your house, and they're talking about you working the business from home. They're telling you to keep it that way because I guess you've been thinking about expanding it or doing something else with it, and they say right now you're doing quite well with it just that way.
Okay.
And they're encouraging you to stay that way for a while yet. So if you're going to be thinking about making any big changes with that, I wouldn't. I would stick with it just the way it is for now.
Okay.
Because they say you're doing very well with it. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Claudine. Thank you so much. Now, do you have any time, Concetta, where, you know, we were talking about it being so draining and whatnot. There have to be times when people reach out to you and it would be very, very sad. You know, if people are asking you
oh,
if they've lost
goodness,
children.
And, yes, yes, of course.
That's got to be the worst.
It is the worst. It is the worst. And it's hard because I have to stay separate from it. Otherwise, I disconnect from it. If I get it too emotionally involved, it's like anything else and anything. If you're trying to work on something and you get emotionally involved, it doesn't make for a good contribution. So, yes, I hear some of the most horrible things about the way people leave the side and what people do to other people. But let me just say that in my work, I try very hard if I'm working an audience, maybe not with a personal one-on-one if somebody's got a horrible thing going on, but if I'm doing a show, an event, I have a really rich sense of humor. So I try to bring humor in when it's appropriate and make sure people are laughing too during my events because I don't want them to leave slitting their wrists. I want them to leave feeling spiritually uplifted.
Okay. Now, have you ever experienced at any time, especially when you're doing a room full of people there, and I would say probably 99% are there because they genuinely believe and they want to be there, have you ever had something happen that kind of stopped you in your tracks where someone...
Yes.
Yeah? Tell me about it.
Yes, of course. You know I'm from New Jersey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was doing a reading one time for this. It was a group, and there were three people, two women and a man. And I have to tell you, my assistant makes all my arrangements, so I really don't know anything about who's coming except that it's cleared by Ellen, my assistant.
Yeah.
So when they sat down, I only had the one woman's name who made the appointment. So she comes in with this man and this woman, another three of them. So I start with the man first. And the minute I started doing the reading, I knew there was something very, very wrong or unusual. I don't know how to put it. Okay. Long story short, it started out where it was just he got on my nerves, too, because I always start out by saying, please tell me your first and last name. And the reason I do that is because that tells the other side, it's called announcing oneself. You're letting the other side know it's you, and then I say, can I have your permission to listen? And then you answer yes, and then I listen. Okay. Well, when I said this to him, he was kind of like, well, what do you mean? And I was like, everybody doesn't mind saying their name. And then I said, can I have your permission to listen? And he was like, listen to what? And I was looking at these women like, did he know where you were taking them today? You know, that kind of a thing. But anyway, when I went to listen, there was very little response on the other side, almost none. And the only person I heard was his mother, and it was cryptic the way she was talking. But I went on to find out later on that he was, if you'll understand this, very connected in the New Jersey world, if you understand what I'm saying. And I found that out because I started getting phone numbers from, you know, Joe Bachagaloop and Johnny No Fingers, and, you know, and it was just like, oh, my God, it was just too funny because apparently he was impressed. But there was that sadness that was coming from his mother and the communication that I knew there was something very, very not right.
Oh, well, because was she not happy with the line of work he was in?
It's interesting. I mean, she was a mother and she was on the other side, so to say she wasn't happy about his work, I don't know if it was that way, except that she was very much interested in letting him know, I think, that where she was, that she was not dead, and that there was somewhere in line in life, whether it be here or there, he was going to have to take responsibility.
Oh.
And she was trying to remind him of that.
That he might
so I can't, you know, I'm not here to judge, and I'm trying to be completely neutral in anything when I work that way. But, yeah, that would have been my best guess.
Wow. Okay, we have, is that Kathy from South Pasadena? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm excited. I've lost some people who are very close to me recently, and I want to know if they're okay, and also
Kathy,
if they have any...
What I want you to do, sweetie, because I know you just said there's a lot of people, and we have limited time.
Oh, sorry.
No, darling, that's all right, sweetheart. I just want to do a good job for you. Please pick one of those persons.
My dad died 2 months ago.
Okay. Then I want to ask you, because if you recognize somebody with a D, is there a David, Danny, Donald, do you have any idea who that is? That he speaks of, and who is Ed. There's a lot of names I hear right away. William. These are all folks that he's mentioning. So they're either with him or he's trying to tell me something about them here. So I don't know how it fits in.
Donald, Ed, it's not ringing a bell right now.
That's all right, dear. When you hang up, I want you to think about it because sometimes people hang up and there they are. What uniform did your father wear? Was he in the Army?
Army.
Yeah. He's showing his uniform to me. He's introducing me to people that are like from his mother, his father, that he's standing with. Okay,
yes.
So this is how it's all connected, and there's a name, Michael. I don't know if it's Michael or Michelle, actually. But let me say to you that he says you have a photograph of him in his uniform, that you would then see your face in that photo. he seems to think you look like him, or there's a resemblance between you and he.
That's funny. It's quite possible. We certainly do have a picture of him in his uniform.
Right. And he said if you looked at that picture, you would see yourself, because he's proud to say his daughter looks like him.
That's funny.
All he wants to do, and all he keeps telling me, is that he's happy he was let go because he was doing so poorly. And that
yeah.
he so loves you so much. And the most important thing he said to tell you is that he can walk well again. His legs bothered him so badly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because he was going crazy that he couldn't walk well. It was very unexpected, his death. But we were trying to figure it all out, why he couldn't walk well.
Right.
That's amazing.
He's dancing now. He can dance again. And that's what he's telling you, most importantly, because he's a very jolly, sweet guy. And
yes.
he's very proud to tell me he can dance, he can run, he can do whatever he wants.
Oh, that's so great.
Kathy, what do you think about what you've just been told? Does that blow you away?
I'm very impressed. His death came very quickly, even though he was 87. We were not expecting it, and we were anticipating months and months of tests to try to figure out why his walking wasn't.
He didn't want to stay, honey. That was what he told me. He
yeah.
really didn't want to lay around here, and he was just plain done, he said, and now he chose wisely to go to the light, and he's with people who love him.
Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
Oh, wow. So you pictured someone right away in a uniform.
He showed it to me. He showed me a photograph of himself, and I just couldn't tell if it was Army or Navy, because I know he was trying to tell me, but he said that's where she looks at him, and he said she would see a resemblance between herself and that photo.
Wow. Do you believe that we live more than just this life? I mean, have we all been here before? Is that why we get the deja vu
sometimes? Oh, yes, reincarnation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Many lifetimes, absolutely. That's why there's sometimes, you know, you'll find yourself attracted to certain periods in time. You know, I, for one, have such tremendous period of the 1800s. But, you know, there's some people I know who tell me they're so attracted to Egyptian stuff, and that has no interest for me whatsoever. So, but there's other people who have attractions to different places. And, you know, I mean, they want my husband, for instance. Now, he's an Italian-born son, and yet he has such a love for China. And he just wants to go. He wants to go see China. He wants to go. It's more than what he could put his finger on. Because he has not. I mean, my sister-in-law is Chinese. That's true. My brother's wife. But I have to say, my brother got married to her after my husband and I were married 15 years. Long before he met my sister-in-law, my husband always told me about his wish to go see, you know, the Grand Wall of China and all these things. And they have no interest for me whatsoever. And I love my sister-in-law, but I just have no interest in it at all.
Isn't it bizarre? And as you say, sometimes there are just those things. The thing that I have is that I love living near, and I'm not right now, I love living near the water. I always have. What's so bizarre is I cannot swim. I have a complete fear of swimming or being in the water, but I feel calm when I am near it. And yet, you know, going on a big ship or even in a boat is very frightening for me.
Right.
But I love being near it.
I join you on that. I join you because I have a terrible fear of the water. I like to look at it, but I don't even like to stay by it because I have a tremendous fear of it. And I know it's past life. I just don't know what, but I don't want to find out. So, you know, you couldn't get me to live by it. Even if you gave me a $1 million home that was right on the water, I'd say, thank you, but no thank you. Because it has no interest for me at all.
now tell us, Conchetta, because I know everybody's going to be interested. You've got this new book out. Are you going to be going out and about? Are we going to see you somewhere?
Oh, I'm all over the place. I've been doing a lot of promotion for it. And, you know, if you went on my website or went on my Facebook page, they'll see where I'm going to be. Unfortunately, I'm only going as far as New Jersey and New York at this moment, but I don't know what the future holds. I'm hoping to get out and branch out more.
Well, you know where I think you should come to? You should come to Canada. That's where you should come. I see that in your future.
Well, I love Canada. That's what's so funny. I mean, I love the old Quebec in Canada. I also love, we go to a place called Montebello.
There.
I love Canada. It's very beautiful.
Well, you let me know as soon as you're coming out here, and I'll make sure that all of the
Thank you very much.
Love you to pieces. Now, who have I got on the line? I don't recognize this number. Hello, are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's your first name?
Hi, my name is Marisa, and I am so excited to get through. You have no idea.
Marisa,
oh,
where are
you're
calling
so cute.
From, honey?
Oh, I'm calling from my cell phone right now. That's where I'm calling from, New York, Jericho, New York.
Oh, there you go. Well, you go ahead and have a chat with our Conchetta.
Hi,
okay,
Marisa.
Conchetta.
How are you, sweetie?
Hi. I am more fantastic since I'm hearing your voice. I cannot
oh, you're
believe
such
it. Oh,
thank you. What can I do to help you, darling? Who are you looking for?
Okay, I actually have two things, and since you've been so wonderful answering all these questions, my mind
well,
is
let me just ask you something before
so
you go any further. Marissa, I don't mean to interrupt you, but let me just ask you something right off the cuff. Do you have a father figure who passed away?
No.
If your father is still alive, it has to be a grandfather then. Who was you very close to one particular grandfather?
Okay. You have put tears in my eyes. One of the reasons why I'm calling is because I have a little boy who's four, and every nanny I've had have said that there's a presence in my home, and that it's a man.
Wow.
And that's why I was calling. I was wondering who it was.
Well, it's a positive figure, I can tell you that. I don't want you to be afraid, because there's no question that they are protecting you, and he's a very – it's a father figure. I just wonder if he's related to you or past life.
You
I don't know. Let me just ask you this. How many children do you have?
I just have one son who's incredible.
Okay.
He's four.
Okay. And let me ask you about him, because what I'm hearing, does he – is he I'm sure he's fine, but does he have dyslexia? Well, still too young to tell. Does he have dyslexia?
No, he's completely healthy. He's absolutely amazing.
Okay, I'm sure he is. I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying there's something
He does have a lazy
numbers.
Eye.
Something about his number skill, honey. They're saying something about his numbers. So I'm trying to put it together, and certainly not a doctor, so I'm just not quite sure. What, dear?
No, I was saying that he does have a lazy eye and he does wear glasses, and it was a concern whether or not he would have to have surgery for the lazy eye, because they said that it's not something that would actually get better.
Okay.
They said his eye would always have a tracking problem, and my grandfather was an elite athlete, and I know it sounds silly, but we always wanted my son to be an elite athlete, and that was a concern. I know that sounds silly, but
You have a father figure here who absolutely is very protective of you and he. And they're showing me some pieces. Now, you said your father's alive, so I don't know who this father figure is. But I have a grandfather here now who is standing by you as well, who says that I don't know if it's your husband or you, but you have things that belong from this male figure. Do you have something from your grandfather?
I own a health club, and I actually have an enormous poster of my grandfather when he was in his prime and before he passed away. And when anyone ever comes in, yes, I do.
Yeah, he knows it, is what I'm saying to you. And he's telling me he knows you proudly have this out and that his name is not forgotten. It's not just the poster. He shows me photographs as well. He's very proud, and I can say this. Your son is perfect. He is going to excel, but I think what he's going to excel in something to do, I know this is awfully soon to say, but numbers, computers, he might be creator or program things and design things. I don't know. I only know that he's got great success in front of him, and he's got many guardian angels around him, and they're showing that he loves furry four-legged friends. Like, he wants anything that is in a fur and four legs.
Yes,
he's like
he loves
amazingly
animals.
He's very much loves animals, and he's very gentle and loving. He's a very – I'm going to say he's a mission. He's on a special mission here.
Oh, I think so, too.
Wow.
But you have
so
a grandfather
too.
Who's very present and accounted for, dear, and tells me to tell your father and mother that you've heard from him.
I will. Thank you so much, Conchetta. This is wonderful.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you, Marisa. Thanks so much for calling. So, Conchetta, when you're out with your husband and the children and you're having dinner and whatnot, are you able to not see anything? I know that some mediums have said that they, because they're so clairvoyant, they see things, they hear things all the time.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. I do. But what happens is when I'm in my own personal life, you know, I'm in many different layers of conscious mind. We all are. Subconscious, theta, beta, all those lower layers of consciousness. Now, when I am wanting to listen for dead folks, I can lower the conscious mind. I can actually dip up and down into my conscious, lower consciousness, and that's where I can really hear clearly from them. But when I'm in my conscious, really like with my friends and my family, I don't want to be interrupted either. So
right.
I will pretty much not say they're on hold, but I'm having a good time. So please don't, it's like I just don't want to bother right now. This is my time, you know, so I can do that. But if I'm on vacation and I'm walking in a historic place and I'm just looking at a beautiful museum or a place in history, oh, easy, easy piece of cake. They're all around only too willing to talk and tell me their stories.
Well, no, there's something I want to ask you. When you are out at places and there are some spirits there, do you ever get any that are negative spirits that are trying to speak with you that are not the ones that you want to deal with?
Well, sure. I'll give you an example, too. I was in Germany, and I went to Dachau, and it was horrible.
God.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible. I mean, I always said I had to go there. I always said to my husband, I have to go to Germany. Someday I have to go see a concentration camp.
Mm.
I have to go. I think it's got a connection to my past life somehow, and I think I may have died in a concentration camp. But beside that, I finally was in Germany, and we stopped on our travel to see Dachau, and it was I write about it in one of my books. It was the most horrible experience because the minute I got out of the car, you know, and everything, of course, today, 2013, everything's cleaned up, so it doesn't look like it did in the 40s.
Right.
It almost looks like a playground on the outside when you pull into the parking lot. But if you are able to use your mind and your imagination, you can imagine what it must have looked like at one time. But for me, I could feel the horror. And when I went through the gates, I mean, it's such a long story, but to make it short, I heard the evil that took place there. But keep in mind, I must make this clear, that it wasn't the evil that's there now are the evildoers, not the victims. The people who were murdered are moved on to a much more beautiful and into a much more beautiful place, certainly not suffering any longer. But the evildoers, oh, I wouldn't want to be them.
And do you feel that they actually do get their comeuppance? I don't know how to think of it.
I
can't think of another word.
That's
a good
word.
If we've done wrong, is it a limbo that they're living in?
Well, I have to say I've had this question. I've talked this over with many people I respect in different parts of my field, and the amazing differences are amazing, but it all comes down to the same thing. Sooner or later, yes, I believe that there's a reckoning, and even if it's I don't know exactly how God works it, but I just know I trust God, and I just believe that there is something that makes us all open our eyes for any wrong or whatever injustice, or, you know, we take responsibility eventually for it. How it's done, the way it's done, I think it's different for, I don't know, everybody. I only know that I'm sure that it's not a simple thing where somebody kills somebody and just gets away with it and they think they've gotten away with murder and they live the rest of their life on this earth playing golf or whatever they're doing and thinking that, okay, it's all done now. No, there's more to it than that, sweetie. I totally believe that.
I'm going to take another caller. Michelle, are you there from Oregon, Michelle?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for
Hi.
Calling in. Do you have a question for Conchetta?
Well, I do have a question I can ask if there isn't a message that she's getting that she'd like to pass on.
Yes. Well, tell me who you're. First of all, say your first name.
Michelle.
Michelle, can you say to me who would you hope to hear from, please, and who that is to you?
Well, you know,
this is why I ask, see, because some people will say anybody, and then it's very, very difficult for me to start, you know, picking around, so I like to get right to the point this way I can hopefully get a message you understand.
Maybe either my sister or my grandparents.
Very good. Okay, let me take your sister, sweetheart.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, very good. Did she die from cancer?
Yes.
And I know she's showing me right away, telling me to say there's something monumental coming. No one will ever suffer the way the others did. I'm not sure, but I see the cancer in her lungs and her chest, unless it was breast cancer. Is that what it was?
Actually, she had both.
Yeah, because she shows it to me all there in her torso. Okay,
yeah.
She's a lovely person. And she has children?
No.
Okay.
No,
you're
she loved my kids like...
that's
yeah,
like your
she
children.
My kids
she,
like
she
her
talks
own.
About the children right away, sweetie, as if to say,
yeah.
I love, you know, please send my love to the children. I feel she was either a godmother or something like that, but I know she's very connected to them and tells you that you have guardians for your children. And she's loving being with her grandparents, loving being. But you were her sister, and she was very close to you as well. She absolutely adores you, although you look very, very different. As girls go, you look very, very different. But she's definitely saying, I know that she's saying this lovingly, like you're beautiful. You were the beautiful one. But she's saying it very sweetly.
Mm. Wow.
And can you recognize a name with a D? And I'm not sure if this doesn't have to be her, but who would be Diane or Dorothy, Dolores, something like that?
Mm.
Do you have any idea?
No,
okay,
not,
and
not
one more. That's okay, sweetie. Just hang on to it because you're under,
okay.
under pressure. You're on the radio. It's a pressure thing. Please recognize your name is Michelle, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, who would be Michael? Why would I hear the name Michael? Or is it? Or are they saying because it's a male figure they mentioned with an M, Michael, or it might be Mark. I have no
idea.
Oh,
Maurice.
That's it. Who is that? Who is it?
My granddad.
There
my
you
grandfather.
Go, I couldn't say
yeah.
it right, but I know he's trying to say his name. And there's another woman that's also an M, so I can't help but think she's either Margaret, Mary, I don't know, Marie. But I have that woman saying hello to you, too, with an M.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome, dear.
Do they have it? You know, I've been wondering.
Do you have napkins or is it handkerchiefs or something like that?
Do I have them?
Yeah.
I have some that my grandparents had.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
They know you've kept them. They're saying to say they know you've treasured them, that you've kept them. They belong to them.
Oh, they were lovely people.
Yes, they were, sweetheart. But they're working on seconds time here, but trying to give you information that you'll know it's them. A lot of people hang up the phone and recognize who these other folks were they're talking about. But as long as you recognize what she said you have that was hers and that you treasure.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
They have? Could
Go
I
ahead.
Ask one quick question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah.
My biggest question at this moment. I'm trying to figure out a way to make a living doing what I love.
Mm.
Do they have any thoughts on, like,
advice
the,
on that?
Yeah. How to get from here to there?
Yeah. That's a hard question because it's not whatever it is that you want to do. The thing that you really love. The way they're
mm-hmm.
showing it to me is a
mm-hmm.
huge jump. It's not like just going and getting a resume and apply for the job. That's what they say anyway. It's a huge, there's a lot that goes from point A to point B. So whatever that is, I don't know. I would say personally just follow your dreams, but they're showing it to me like you're talking about a big jump and there's a lot involved. So
mm-hmm.
if you believe in yourself and you trust them, I would do it and I would try it. But just keep in mind that I know there's a lot that has to happen before you get to point B.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much,
honey.
Michelle. Thanks for calling. Thank you. So now tell me, Conchetta, what
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm sure you've been asked this already. When are you going to do a TV show and a series?
Oh, from your lips to God's ears.
Come on.
You know, I've been wanting
show.
To do that.
I watch you and some of the interviews you've done and some of the of your when you go out and you do your group readings and whatnot,
right.
and you should be doing a show.
I agree with you. I wish I was. And I have had been in situations where I've tried to get that door open and think for some reason or another, I really don't know. I just think my personal feeling is that Hollywood today is looking for, train wrecks. All right, I'll put it that way. And then they want that, and I think I have too much class for that, but I have a very rich sense of humor, and I really do love people, but I think they just want, you know, like crazy stuff. And although I can give great information, but this, I don't know. I really don't know what the reason is. I only know that from your lips to God's ears, anybody out there listening, you bring me an offer, and let's talk about
it. Let's do it. Would your husband and the kids be, would they be willing?
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, yeah. They're all hands.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They've been around the spotlight with me for enough years now to know what would be expected, and they are all fun-loving.
We are going to take one more caller, and Amy, you are it. Amy from Detroit, are you there?
I am. Thank you
You're
so
it.
Much.
You
I'm
waited
so
a long time. You're it, my dear, so go ahead with your question.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Amy.
Hi.
Amy,
so
before
excited.
You go, darling, I just want to know something from you. I have a mother figure who immediately tells me to tell you she's there with you. So please tell me who this mother figure is. Is it your mom or your grandmother?
I don't have a mom.
And who is Marilyn or Marilyn or Mary or Marion? Boy, I get a lot of names the minute I heard your voice. Woohoo! Somebody's telling me you have fragrance or perfume of theirs, too. So there's a lot of information. There's just bubbling over with this.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's funny because I was wondering if I even really had anyone on the other side looking out after me. I don't have a lot of close people who have died.
Wow. Well, this is a mother figure who definitely is crazy about you. If you don't have a grandmother that really loved you, that you know who she is?
No.
Wow. Okay, listen to me. I want you to find out from them then. The grandmothers that you have now are going to know this one. This has got to be a great-grandmother of yours. She starts with an E.
Yeah, listen.
She starts with an E. I don't know if I'm saying Elizabeth, Esmeralda, Edith, who knows? All I know is she's very quick to tell you. And she used to wear these really funny-looking shoes. I don't know why she would show this. And I know she's telling me that she had a baby that died very young and that the baby is with her, that nothing is lost, and she's thrilled to tell you that. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. She just bubbled over when you called. So please tell me what your question was.
Oh, well, that's great. I mean, I really was just wondering if I did have any guides on the other side and just what they would want to say. In my life right now, I guess I'm interested in where my career is headed. But
I'm not worried about your career. You're going to be fine. People like you. Everywhere you go, the minute you walk in the door, they just like you. You'll get hired very easily. And you've got these guardian angels that you've never even known on this side. However, they know you from that side. Ask them. Recruit them. God wants us to have all we want. That's why God is almighty. All is everything God wants us to have. So, and just go out there and apply yourself, and you'll be fine. But find out who this grandmother is, because she's crazy about you.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. One more thing, if you don't mind. I'm just curious to get you to notice it. What's the piece of furniture that you have that's from a grandmother? There's a piece of furniture she's showing me. Who has the furniture from her? Or what is this that she's telling
me
missing the furniture?
Yeah, maybe my mom or my grandma. I think I know who you're talking about now, and I think it's my grandmother's stepmother. So it would have been my
great-grandmother. And they took and they have some of her furniture or something? That they've kept?
Very, very likely. I don't know.
Very likely. Good.
Probably.
That's good. Okay. Because she's talking. They're all talking at the same time, but please look into the names.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks
for calling. Well, we are just about at the end of the show, and I want to make sure that if anyone would like to continue their conversations with you and to try and book, you can go to ConchettaBertoldo.com, and all of the information is on there. I can't wait to get the new book, Inside the Other Side, and I can't wait for your TV show. I see it.
Thank you so much, Kate. I hope so, and you'll be my first guest. And it's Conchetta Bertoldi, just in case anybody wants to know. It's C-O-N-C-E-T-T-A. Last name is Bertoldi, B-E-R-T-O-L-D as in David, I, just so they can be my friend on Facebook or go on my website.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I loved having you on.
Thank you, sweetie.
The switchboard is still lit up, so you have to promise that when I can get the girls organized, you're going to come back on, and we'll bring on
I would love to come on again. And let me just please mention Christine, if you're out there, she was your first caller. Please call my office. I'd like to finish that, whatever it was. I feel so bad she waited so long, and I know it didn't make sense, and I know that I can make sense for her. So if she's listening, give me a call. Anyway, thank you, Kate.
Thank you. Thank you
so
much.
God bless you, honey,
and
have a wonderful spring.
You too.
All right, baby.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, honey.
Well, that was absolutely one of the most fun shows. My apologies. I know a lot of you are still kind of hoping and sitting there and waiting for Conchetta, but we will have her back on. I will book again. And if you didn't get on this time, make sure to email me at katehennessy@getfocusedradio.com and let me know that you were waiting and didn't get on, and you will be top priority for our next show. So make sure, get out there and get the books. I mean, gosh, Do Dead People Watch You Shower? That's got to be great. And Do Dead People Walk Their Dogs? That one is hilarious. Can't wait for her new book, Inside the Other Side. They're all available now. If you don't know where to get these, go to my website at getfocusedradio.com. All the information about all of our guests are there, and you can also listen to all of the shows. They all get archived, and they're all there. You just click the button, and there you go. So thank you. I want to thank my very special guest, Conchetta Bertoldo. and all of you for tuning in. Make sure that you give me a contact and leave me a message. And I'd love to hear from you at my website or even my email. Again, it's Kate Hennessy at GetFocusedRadio.com. So love to hear from you, from all of you out there. Enjoy what you have, the blessings we've all been given, and treasure every moment you have with each other. Please try to make a difference. And I will see you next week.